Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Maria, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Eurobank Holdings conference call to present and discuss the second quarter 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank first half 2021 results presentation. Together with me is our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, and the investor relations team. Let us present our results and key recent developments before we answer your questions. Starting with the macroeconomic front, despite the spread out of the Delta variant, sentiment remains positive, as shown by domestic economic activity indicators. Deposits keep increasing in the banking system. Real estate prices are moving upwards, and the asset quality trends remain resilient and better than even revised estimates. At the same time, foreign direct investments are accelerating across different sectors and economic activity recovers, as seen in industrial turnover, moving higher than the 2019 level in the second quarter. The tourism season seems stronger than initially expected, and current estimates point to revenues of at least 50% of 2019 season. Greece quickly gained approval for its plan for the Resilience and Recovery EU funds and expects 7.5 billion euros disbursements this year, of which 4 billion euros was already received. It appears that the strong growth will extend into the 2021-26 period, for which we expect annual GDP growth of 3.5%-4% on average, underpinned by the RRF. The above trends, together with the Greek banking system delivering the balance and cleanup from legacy NPEs, make a sovereign credit rating upgrade to investment grade likely in the next 15-18 months. Now, let's see our financial results for the first half of the year, as highlighted on slide four. Our profits in the first half of the year reached 195 million euros, of which 123 million in the second quarter. Core pre-provision income was up 2.4% on a year-on-year basis and 4.5% from the previous quarter. In line with our guidance, net interest income was lower by 2.8% in the first half of the year and stable versus the previous quarter. Commissions increased strongly by 16% year-on-year and 12% on the previous quarter, while operating expenses were slightly lower. On asset quality now, the better-than-expected trend continued into the second quarter, with organic NPE formation being negative by 43 million euros. The cost of risk ratio reached 1.2% in the first half of the year. Our total capital ratio stands at 16.6%, while the fully loaded CET1 increased by 20 basis points last quarter and reached 12.1%. New loan disbursements, mainly business loans, reached 3.4 billion euros in Greece in the first half of the year. Deposits were up by 2.4 billion euros in the same period, and the loan-to-deposit ratio declined to 75%. Finally, in our international operations, we recently announced two initiatives, one in Serbia, the merger with Direktna Bank, and the second in Cyprus, a minority participation in Hellenic Bank. This is in line with our strategy to further diversify and strengthen our business in these countries. The existing operations continue delivering in the meantime, with net profits of 73 million euros in the first half of the year. Now, moving beyond the second quarter financial results, we successfully completed the 2021 SSM stress test, as shown on slide 5. Eurobank ranks among top European banks based on the fully loaded CET1 depletion of 433 basis points under the adverse scenario in the period 2020 to 2023. This is the best performance among local peers and reflects the NPE reduction already achieved. As the capital depletion under the adverse scenario is the key input for the SREP evaluation, this would be positive for our regulatory capital requirements in the future. Let me now continue with an update on the Mexico securitization, highlights of which are on slide 6. On Mexico, we have a binding offer from Dubai. We intend to reclassify the securitized portfolio as held for sale in the third quarter and deconsolidate it in the fourth quarter. Our NPE ratio, pro forma for Mexico, stands at 7.3 in June 2021. The updated capital impact of the transaction is estimated at minus 10 basis points only. As a result of the better than initially expected capital impact of Mexico, our full year 2021 total CAD is estimated now at 16.4%, that is 40 basis points higher than the previous estimate. Regarding the other two capital enhancement transactions, our plan for a strategic partnership in the merchant acquiring business, we receive competitive binding offers. We aim to decide on the preferred bidder in the next few weeks and sign the agreement in the fourth quarter. And the synthetic securitization of performing loans is also on track to close before year-end. So, in summary, Eurobank delivers on all its priorities, namely profitability, asset quality, capital, and regional expansion. The operating performance is in line with our expectations for 2021, and the outlook for 2022 is even better as macro trends in Greece improve. In a strong economic environment and having already the best asset quality metrics and the most diversified business model in the sector, Eurobank is in the pole position to expand its profitability in the coming years and deliver double-digit return on equity as early as next year. Finally, yet importantly, as legacy NPEs are behind us, and the bank has started generating strong organic capital, all necessary preconditions are in place to initiate the supervisory dialogue on dividends distribution. At this point, I'd like to ask our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, to present you our first half results in detail before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fokion. Let's now provide some more insight on the second quarter results. We start from the capital position on page 10. In the second quarter, our fully loaded CET1 ratio increased by 20 basis points, amounting to 12.1%. The phasing total capital ratio reached 15.6%. The drivers of the year-to-date capital movement have been fully anticipated in the 2021 capital plan presented in March. Furthermore, accounting for the updated impact of Mexico and the announced capital enhancement initiatives that are in progress, the year-end outlook is revised higher with total CAD and fully loaded CET1 ratios at 16.4 and 13.2% respectively. Moving on page 19 on lending evolution, loan disbursements increase continue to be strong at 3.4 billion euro in the first half of the year. Performing loans increased by 1 billion euro year on year, driven by corporate and Southeastern Europe. We expect loan growth for the group in the second half of the year to reach 1 billion euro, with July already being higher by 300 million. On pages 20 and 21, we present an overview of the RRF's pillars and eligible investments, the program size, and the split between grants and loans. As shown on page 21, the loans part may leverage up to 30 billion euro of investments to be funded at very attractive blended costs. Eurobank is well positioned to take the most out of this opportunity, and to this extent, a dedicated team is offering the appropriate advisory support to its clients as regards RRF project assessment. Participation to RRF, combined with the underlying credit expansion, driven by the solid growth of the economy for the next 3 years, are expected to accelerate loan growth for the group to circa 2 billion euro per annum for the period 2022-2024. Moving on funding and liquidity on page 22. As shown at the right of the page, group deposits increased in the first half of the year by 2.4 billion, largely driven by the extensive state support measures to the economy, lower consumption, and the increased 2020 loan disbursement. Net loans to deposits ratio receded in the second quarter to 75%, and LCR ratio increased further to 166%, as shown at the left of the page. We are addressing the increasing surplus liquidity cost challenge through two main strategies. First, compressing deposit cost, which is approaching the zero level, as shown on page 24, and second, by intensifying our efforts to offer mutual funds and bank assurance products, as will be shown shortly. Moving to profitability on page 25, net interest income was stable quarter on quarter at 335 million euro, as the lower contribution from TLTRO and the lower lending margin, mainly related with corporate portfolio spreads, are offset by higher bonds income and revenues from Southeastern Europe. As regards deposits margin, the impact of increasing volumes has been fully offset by the continuing decrease of client rates. On a year-on-year basis, net interest income is lower by 2.8%, in line with what was anticipated. Furthermore, still on page 25, on the upper right part, we focus on the qualitative composition of interest income. Specifically, we show that contribution of NPEs to total NII decreased from higher than 30% before cleanup to 9% currently, and eventually is estimated at around 3% in 2023. On page 26, commission income rebounded strongly in tandem with the resumption of economic activity, showing a quarter-on-quarter increase of 11.8% and reaching 110 million euro. The increase is mainly driven by revenues from credit cards and network transactions, bank assurance, and mutual funds. Focusing more on wealth management on page 27, the bank maintains a leading position in a fast-growing market, serving its clients through four private banking centers in Greece, Cyprus, Luxembourg, and London, and investing heavily in technology in the new platform. The group secures a competitive advantage versus its peers, and is positioned well to become a significant regional player in wealth management. On page 28, operating expenses are flat year-on-year. In Greece, costs are slightly lower by 0.4%, as higher IT and digital-related expenses are offset by staff cost, which is lower by 7.5% year-on-year, due to reduced headcount. Moving to the asset quality on page 8. As shown on the top left of the page, NP formation in the second quarter was negative by 43 million euro, continuing the better than expected trend. NP ratio decreased to 14%, and pro forma with Mexico is reduced to 7.3%. Cost of risk for the quarter declined to 1% of net loans, and for the first half of the year to 1.2%. Coverage in the second quarter increased by 140 basis points, reaching 63.3%. On next page 9, we summarize the core operating performance for the first half of the year. Core PPI is higher year-on-year by 2.4%, mainly driven by non-NPs related NII, higher commission income, and lower staff costs, which more than offset the lower income from NPs by 82 million euro. Loan loss provisions are lower by 17%, reflecting the deleveraging of NPs and the better asset quality trends. As a result, core operating profit is higher year on year by 35% at 221 million euro. Finally, let me close with an update on the full year 2021 profitability guidance provided in March. On core PPI, we expect to be in line with our initial estimate of 875 million euro. Cost of risk, taking into account the latest asset quality trends, is estimated for the full year at 1.1% of net loans. The above point to a full year profit before tax over 500 million euro. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi guys. Kalispera, thanks for the presentation and well done on the results. I have a few questions. First of all, at group level, just wondering how you see the early indications of asset quality for the second half. I remember that in previous calls, you were taking a more cautious approach in regards to the inflows, and that was also reflected on your guidance for the cost of risk, which now I see that is at the lower end of the range you gave before, the 110 to 120. So just wondering, you know, now in this first couple of months, how are you seeing that developing? So that would be interesting to hear from you. Now, second, also on the real estate side, any views on the resumption of auctions and, you know, how can that change your real estate portfolio, and if that also is linked to the investment pipeline that you have. I remember that your number for 2021-2022 in terms of real estate investments was in the range of 300 million. So just wondering if this number still holds at that level. And then finally on Cyprus, I've seen that this quarter you booked quite a low provisioning rate in the country, meaning that your bottom line was relatively higher than the previous quarters. So I was just wondering what drove that and if you expect the provisioning level to remain in line with second quarter or maybe to revert to the, to the average we've seen in the previous quarters. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much for your questions. Let me take the first one and then Harris will take the other two. So as you correctly pointed out, the first half of the year asset quality trends were better than expected. For instance, out of the 4.9 billion euros of moratoria in 2020, circa 5% only have defaulted, while 85% have returned to normal payments, either on own means or through the two bridge programs, the GEFILA programs. There is a 10% of moratoria which is expiring in the second half of the year, but these are related entirely with the hotel sector. I already mentioned that tourism has done very well, above expectations. I was just reading that in the International Airport of Athens, tourist arrivals have reached, in the end of August, 70% of the 2019 figure, and therefore we are not concerned at all about the performance of these customers for which moratoria are ending in a few months. Now, in the second quarter, we recorded a negative NPE formation. On slide 30, we present the formation per loan segment. And as you can see there, the trends are very similar in all four loan segments. For the third quarter, and based on the information that we have so far, we expect a slightly positive formation, a number, let's say, below 100 million euros. In the previous analyst call, we projected for the full year 2021 an increase, an organic increase in the stock of NPEs of about 600 million euros. And based on what we have seen so far and what we expect for the third quarter, this figure appears to be on the high side. However, as state support measures are gradually lifted, we prefer to remain cautious and continue monitoring the asset quality trends. And let me clarify that although we recognize that this 600 million euros is on the high side, at the moment we don't revise this figure lower. So based on all this, we expect that in the end of the year, the NPE ratio will be close to 8%, including the effect of Mexico. As Harris mentioned, the cost of risk for the full year will be at 1.1 versus 1.2% that was in the first half of the year. And this should bring the NPE coverage more or less at the same levels as we are today. And we believe that this high mark would allow us to support a lower cost of risk in 2022 and going forward, and further decrease the NPEs towards the 5% area as early as next year in a very cost-optimal way. So this is how we see things in the area of asset quality. And let me now pass over to Harris for the other two questions.
Regarding coming to the auction question, it looks that as of 1st of September, auctions are well resuming in all categories apart from the vulnerable households for which there are very strict income, wealth, and level of deposit preconditions, which are for the moment on hold, as well as some auctions referring to specific areas in Greece that were hit by recent wildfires. All other auctions are have started to progress quite well, and we should expect for the sector close to 3,000 auctions to take place by year end. Actually, this is what has been scheduled. And not only that, but the continuing upward trend on the real estate prices, both residential and commercial, is one more encouraging signal as regards
proceeds from foreclosures. So in tandem with a good level of collections as of the fourth quarter, we expect a good resumptions of auction proceeds. Apart from that, we had also some recent changes in the bankruptcy code accelerating auction processes as well. In parallel, we are executing a schedule, our program on investment property expansion, and the outlook that he had provided in the previous calls for an investment plan at the area of 300 million euro for the next couple of years still holds. Now, as regards the provision charge in Cyprus, in the first half of the year, we had provisions of 3 million euro. That was quite lower from our budget, that was close to 5 million euro. For the second half of the year, the outlook is for close to 5 million euro. However, if the underlying credit quality trend continue to be better, maybe a bit lower, but it should be at that area. 4 to 5 million euro.
Got it. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Many thanks for your time and presentation. I have two questions. One on the spread trends you're seeing lately, particularly as we approach potentially more volumes regarding related to recovery fund. If you could give us any more color on that front, what are you seeing lately, and what do you expect in Q4 and beyond? And then the other thing is on your international business thinking. Obviously, you've made some transactions, particularly the one in Cyprus was a minority stake. If you could give us a bit more color on your strategy in Cyprus and maybe in other geographies, what we should expect on that front. Thank you.
Starting from the spread side, I assume your question is about loans, but let me elaborate on both sides on the balance sheet. On the lending side, in the last quarter, we see some gentle decline on the corporate lending spreads. This was related to, of course, to market competition, but also to some high-yield, large-ticket corporate loan repayment that occurred during the second quarter. Going forward, we should not be surprised if we see some mild slide of the corporate lending spread in view of the competition, but also, as you correctly pointed, the increasing volume that is expected, the increasing demand going forward. On the retail business, especially on the household, mortgage and consumer, we don't expect any material movement from the level we stand today. We should also raise a point as well on the deposit side, where we have made a very good progress on decreasing deposit client rates at levels approaching the zero ax. So as we speak, the stock of time deposits is at 15 basis points. However, the new production, it is at 6 basis points. So there is a positive, let's say, pipeline to be incorporated in our P&L going forward. And the effort is continuing both in Greece and our subsidiaries, mainly in Bulgaria and Cyprus. Mm-hmm. Now, as regards our strategy on international, I pass to Fokion.
Sure. Let me elaborate a little bit on the Hellenic Bank transaction. We bought a minority stake, we believe, in a very attractive valuation. However, we have already a very successful operation in Cyprus. This is Eurobank Cyprus, and our plan is to expand our business there in an organic way, first of all through Eurobank Cyprus. Now, with respect to Hellenic, we don't intend to increase further our stake, at least in the near term. In the meantime, we will support the Hellenic Bank management in all the initiatives and all the priorities that it may have, including the cleanup of the balance sheet, which is underway, but also in the effort to improve materially the cost-to-income ratio, which is on the high side in this bank. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sevim Mehmet with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks very much for the presentation. Just two quick questions from me. So first of all, you mentioned on the call that you'd like to start exploratory talks with the supervisor on dividend distribution. Could you please give us any additional color on this, for example, in terms of timing, etc.? And second question, you also told us that the new capital impact expectation from Mexico is just 10 basis points now. If I recall correctly, that was 50 basis points initially. So could you please tell us what the reasons are leading to this smaller expected capital impact versus the initial expectations, which is obviously very positive? Thanks very much.
Sure. Let me start on the dividend side. As I mentioned during my introduction, we have a number of positive developments with respect to our capital position. One is the result of the stress test that, given that the capital depletion in the adverse scenario is one of the critical inputs of SREP, we expect this performance, the good performance, to be reflected positively in the minimum capital requirements of the bank, and we should have some more concrete feedback from the regulator on this front before year-end. A second positive development was that we have revised upwards our estimate for the year-end capital ratio from 16% to 16.4%. And for the fully loaded CET1 at 13.2, which brings us forward in terms of our capital plan. And last but not least, even this year, the bank will be able to generate organic capital in a material way. This trend will accelerate further in 2022. So, taking into account all these facts, together with the fact that the NPE cleanup is behind us, we feel that all the necessary preconditions are in place to initiate this supervisory dialogue on dividends. Now, on your question on when we should do it, I think the most appropriate time is when we announced our full year 2021 financial results in the beginning of next year, when we should be able to show in place and in our numbers everything that I have just mentioned. And that would be the best timing for us to start this dialogue with the regulator. So in the beginning of 2022. Now, on your second question, what was different, and we moved from an estimate, an initial estimate of minus 50 basis points to minus 10, I think this is a combination of a number of different factors. One of them is the tranching of the transaction that was better than initially anticipated, as a result of improved
real estate prices that have helped the value of the portfolio collaterals. Another factor is that the secondary NPL market in Greece is becoming deeper, and that has been reflected on the price that we received on the mezzanine note. So these are two important factors that have driven the valuation and the capital impact on a better level than initially anticipated.
Great, that's very helpful. Thank you very much, Fokion. Maybe just one follow-up to my colleague Osman's earlier question on the international franchise. It does sound like the Hellenic Bank was a valuation opportunity, but you've also done Direktna in Serbia, which sounds a lot more strategic, and that was one market you previously didn't consider as a core market, as far as I remember correctly, but now it sounds like that you want to grow there, which is obviously a very interesting and attractive market top-down. Is it reasonable to assume that you may explore further inorganic opportunities in those markets? For example, you know, now you're in Serbia, Bulgaria as well, and maybe even beyond. And do you have any specific targets for international contribution to the group figures in the longer term? I remember there was for example, at some point you were saying 40% of NII would come from international over the longer term. Is there a thinking like that that you still have today?
As we speak, in terms of the core pre-provision income, the contribution of international is about 30%. In particular about Serbia, we have not included before Serbia in our core markets. We were saying that core markets for us were Greece, obviously, Bulgaria and Cyprus. Now, in Serbia, the reason that we have not put it as a core market was that our presence there was rather suboptimal. Our subsidiary there was a rather small bank. Definitely through the transaction with Direktna Bank, we increase our size, but still the size remains suboptimal. Therefore, we may use any other opportunity that we may have to further increase our size there, or even exit if there is any such opportunity. But in order to consider Serbia a core market, definitely our presence there should increase quite substantially from the current levels, even after the Direktna acquisition, and increase either organically or through another sort of acquisition. The market there is in a consolidation mode. There are still a lot of banks, a lot of small banks, and therefore we will keep monitoring the market to see about the right opportunity. Now, on your question, what is the optimal contribution of the international in our profitability or income? I think that over the next few years, and given that Greece has entered a growth phase, we would expect that the income coming from Greece should increase quite nicely, and therefore I would not expect, even if we move with other transactions, that the international would be materially more than the 30% level, which is today. In other words, I would expect both international and the Greek operations to grow at the same pace, maybe Greece to grow faster than the other markets, because we have entered, as I mentioned during my introductory note, to a period of 5 or 6 years with a growth of about 3.5% to 4% on average.
Okay, that's all very helpful and clear. Thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Just on the fee performance, along with your peers, it was an impressive quarter. What's driving it? Any more color you can provide? Obviously, economic activity and so on, but how should we think about this for the next couple of quarters? Any color on this would be appreciated. Thank you.
Sure. It is true that we had an excellent quarter, the second quarter of the year, after following the one of lockdown, with fees and commission reaching an annualized level of 63 basis points over assets. And actually, this is an area where we believe it's the major driver for income growth in the coming years. I would say that the growth drivers of fees and commissions is fourfold. Starting from the increasing lending and investment activity in the country, and on that topic we should mention not only the level of new disbursements in lending, but also the very high level of FDIs and the very high value of FDIs that took place in during 2021. All these create high levels of lending and capital market related fees. And on the capital market is an area where investment banking, capital markets, is an area where Eurobank has a leading position. The second pillar is the network transactions and credit cards, who is very closely related with the economic activity and the tourism level. And there we had a very strong increase as regards expectation of tourism this year, reaching, exceeding the levels of 50% compared to 2019. And of course, looking forward, 2022 and onwards, are much more creating expectations reaching or exceeding 2019. The third pillar is bancassurance and wealth management. And on page 27, we show that we have a leading market share on mutual funds at a very fastly growing market. Whereas on private banking, we have a privileged position to being able to serve our clients from four private banking centers in Greece, in Athens, actually Cyprus, Luxembourg, and London. And here, this is an area that we have increased substantially our investment amounts, mainly on implementing and bringing forward a new platform for asset management. And the fourth pillar, that it is completely idiosyncratic to Eurobank, is the income from investment property. Whereas, as I said before, apart from the 1.3 billion euro of investment property portfolio, there is close to 300 million euro, say to 400 million euro for the next 3 years in the pipeline to be invested. So all these four pillars create a very good mix for which we expect a quite substantial growth for the next 2 to 3 years. And I repeat that most probably this is going to be the major driver of core PPI growth going forward.
Perfect. Thank you for the color. Much appreciated.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Let me thank you for participating in this call. Let me also thank you for your questions that gave us the opportunity to elaborate further on our results. Our investor relations team will be available for any follow-up questions. Thank you again.